Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Well, if you have any doubt that a person that's seemingly on the road to destruction can actually turn around and change, this story, I reckon, will give you some pause for thought. He was terrorising Brooklyn streets. Now he's preaching love and forgiveness. It is the story of Nicky Cruz. Nicky, welcome to Australia and welcome to Open House.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
It's quite an amazing story that you've had.
Well, the greatest thing about this interview that I do have a beautiful, faithful radio, so people don't have to see my face.
That's been said of a number of us, actually. Hey, is it true that a court psychiatrist once said of you, he's heading to prison, the electric chair, and hell?
Dr. Goodman, that's correct. I was 18 and a half, and I was running wild in the street of New York. Everybody gave up with me, the educational system, the police, the court system, and my neighborhood, so including myself. So
everybody
I never thought I would never change. I thought I was going to die when I was 20 or 21 years old, and I accepted.
Yeah, and you were one child of 18.
Yes, you got information correct. I have 17 18. Brothers and one sister.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yes, my father was a romantic human being.
Obviously. And yet, those circumstances at home were pretty rough as well. Now, how did your mum come to call you son of Satan? Where did the inspiration for that come about?
Well, you got to understand the environment. My father was a satanic priest. My mother was a witch. And this has come from generation and generation. We were destined to go to hell because my father and my mother held Satan. The sacrifice of the animal, it was a real type of thing, drinking all the blood and all of that.
In your family?
Yes. It might look spooky, but that's the way it was. So we grew up with that ugly, dark side of fear. And there was no guarantee that there would be a change. My mother was the one who really went after me because she abused me physically. I mean, very severe, knocked me out, unconscious many times over in a pool of blood. And I used to wake up naked with my eyes closed because the beating that she gave me, my nose broken, my lips split, my ribs torn apart. And the pain was immense, so immense, and then be naked in a little room and for days. And it got to be something diabolic. It got to be something. The physical situation, I learned how to deal with that. I was immune. I didn't care. I didn't feel any more physical pain. But I tell you one thing. I could never shake it. I could never break it. It was the emotional and the psychological pain. Those words that my mother told me, you are son of Satan, I wish you are dead. I regret the day that I brought you into this world. You never tell you son or your daughter things like this.
No.
That I was a failure. I came to the conclusion, regardless when I was in the gangs and I did bad things and I regret a lot of things, and there were a lot of people who got killed. I lost some of my friends. And I was one of the leaders. I say that the devil could never kill me, because why my mother didn't put a pillow in my face and raise me out of this misery? Or why when I was in the gangs and I went through showers of bullets and I never got killed? The reason and the answer is very simple. Regardless if I was born in a witchcraft home, I was born to serve the Lord, and the devil cannot kill me at all.
And God finally got you in the end. But boy, you went through quite a pathway to actually get gotten.
That's true.
So you become, in the end, the leader of the Mau Mau's gang, who is one of the most feared in Brooklyn at the time.
Yes.
What exactly was gang life like for you? I mean, what did you do?
Well, the psychologists will tell you, which they are right. When you are not loved, and where you rejected from your family, you're going to find a a place when you feel comfortable. And the gang supposed to provide that family vacancy, that soul searching in your life. And they receive you, they tell you, we protect you. You don't have to worry about it. You got to belong, which is true, because you cannot do it on your own, because the gang was strong in New York, in Brooklyn especially. So you joined the gang because you think you're going to found your family. But I have to be honest with you, that never going to happen. The gang can never replace the physical family. Mm. A dad is a dad. A mom is a mom. A sister and a brother. I joined the gang, 205 guys, 75 girls. We were family. But I never really, the only thing I can say, I have about 6 people close to me. The other, many of these guys, I never knew them by name because there were so many. But I tell you, loneliness was one of the most ugly feelings. And that is what the young people are going through. And I know how young people feel, rich or poor or whatever. Loneliness was like a seductive lady that used to walk in 3 o'clock in the morning, crawl inside of my chest, press on the most ugly thoughts that you ever think about it, feeling lost, feeling like what a mess I had done, the thought of committing suicide, going into drug to numb those feelings. It hurt.
Yeah, the loneliness and the isolation.
That's correct.
You stabbed 16 people?
There was more than that. I didn't have no secretary in those.
Did you ever go as far as...
Let me say this. What happened in those days is very simple. Let me describe New York. New York City was a jungle. The law of the jungle, you behave like an animal. And animals don't know the difference between right and wrong. An animal had to kill another animal for survival. That's the law of the jungle. So I had to survive.
Yeah.
So I had to become an animal. It's my life. And I know it's going to be short. So I hit that wall of no fear. I didn't care about my life. I wasn't afraid of death. I was more afraid of life because I became a monster and I didn't know how to cope with all these feelings of loneliness, insecurity, and fear, and all of these things, and being alone, and hearing the voice of my mother, even when I was tough in the gang, she affected me regardless if I was tough or whatever in the street. When I was in that little room, I'll tell you the truth, it was the most lonely moments of my life.
Mm.
She damaged me. Good. I used to talk to myself and I used to say, hey, Nick, if you're a human being, what are you doing behaving like an animal? And if you're an animal, what are you doing trapping a human being body? Because I was cold blood, calculated, executed, no fear in what I did. I could never love because the last time I swear when I tried to commit suicide and I was 9 years old that I was hanging myself, that I talked to, and my brother was the one who saved me. I swear that I will never cry again and I will never love again, and I keep my word. And I tell
you were
you
9 years old.
Yes, and I talked to that little boy that was innocent, that never experienced a childhood. I knew that little Nicky, he was full of love. He just wanted to be loved. And that day when I cried and I kissed my brother and I told him, I love you, my brother, but I'm never going to see you again. I'm going to run away. I talked to that little boy, Nicky, and I said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to defend you. Nobody's going to beat you up anymore. And I keep my word. And the only way that that little boy became free was the day when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and let him out. And I was so comfortable to tell him, now you can go out of my life. You are free. You are loved. You are not a bastard. You have a heavenly Father in your life
yeah.
that loves you.
Yeah. This is Open House, and we're talking to Nikki Cruz. It's an amazing story, and it's a story that is well known through books like The Cross and the Switchblade and your own story, Run Baby Run, published in the 60s and still continues to be printed and published and sold. What was going through, because many people know the story and we can't cover it all, but David Wilkerson comes into your life. He has this call from God. He's a country preacher, country pastor. He goes to New York City under this call of a sense that he has to go and help kids like you. You beat him up, you spit on him, you do all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But finally there's a day when you listen to his message, and his message is the Christian gospel about Jesus and his love. What was going through your mind and your heart when you finally did accept that message?
What was the greatest thing that God knows what he's doing? He didn't send Mr. Universe to talk to me because I would put a bullet in his head. He sent a skinny preacher, a hillbilly, a thick glasses. His eye was moving everywhere. But there was something about that man that he took a risk. And it was a passion that only God can give to another of his people to really leave his wife that was expecting a baby anytime and come to New York as an urgency, knowing that he will get killed. And the police told him they're going to kill you, which he 90% he will. He walked right into the war zone. And when I confronted him and I told him, I will kill you, I got you live in my hands, and there's 300 people there watching this, and I threat the people, if you make any move, I give the go-ahead that they're going to shoot you right here in this place. This guy is mine, Dave Wilkerson. My reaction to David, I call him David because he's my spiritual father, my friend, was that he was scared. He was so scared. And I knew, because in the street, you are pro on those areas. You know who's tough and you know who's weak through the window of the eyes. He was shaking. I told him, you cannot. If you say any word, I kill you. Some way out of the blue sky, he was shaking and with a painful, cracking voice, almost whispering, but I was hearing what he said. He say, I'm scared. And I know you can kill me. I know that. But I have to tell you this. I came to bring you a message from heaven. I came over here to tell you that Jesus loves you, Nikki. I said, what? Then he noticed my reaction. I back off a little bit. He disarmed me right there. Then he got tough. Like a schizophrenic that changed personality, but this is not. If he was a schizophrenic, he was a good one filled with the Holy Spirit. That changed. He became bold, scream at me. He changed in front of my face. Yeah. He told me, go ahead, if you want to kill me. It was boldness from the Spirit. Kill me. Do it. Hey, do it in front of these people. Is that going to make you feel good? Nikki, you can kill me and cut me in 1,000 pieces. You can throw them right there on the street. And every piece is going to cry now that I love you and Jesus loves you. And you can never kill love. God is love. That was the message. Wilkerson hit me right straight like a bullet in my heart. He went straight into my mind to think about it. And for 2 weeks, those three words and the face of Wilkerson, because I really hurt him physically, humiliate him. Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you. Every place that I went, Jesus loved you. Well, I surrendered to his love. It was, I went to see him and I took 75 guys and the girls just for protection. That there was 2,000 people there, plus 12 different gangs. He didn't know what he was doing. And many of those guys, there was enemies. That was the night that I was deeply touched. And that was the night that for the first time I heard the gospel of Christ in the family, in the Cruz family, the witchcraft family. And that was the night that I collapsed in the loving arms of Jesus. And I cried on his shoulder. And he kissed my pains away. He went right straight into my heart and forgave me. And I just told him, I don't know if this is the truth. And when that became very real, that he was real, I never saw him, but I can feel him.
Mm.
And right there, I changed my weapon for the Bible. I changed.
Wow, you certainly did. And how many years ago was that now? I mean, it's only 50 years.
No, you're talking. you went out for one of the most sublime, the most beautiful moment, and you want to try to ask me about my age. I'm 60. It's not your business. Well,
I do that because some people will say,
yes.
But how long did it last? It's lasted for decades for you.
That's true. And the thing is, the people don't believe it, but the way of communication, body language or whatever, is part of my life. And thousands of young people come to see me. I don't know why. But that was 47 years
47
ago.
Years ago, we finally got
you
it out of him.
Lousy, thank you.
The thing is that since that time, in fact, only a few years later, you were back into the streets, back actually reaching those gang members, people that you once led and people you once fought and all of that. And then here you are taking that message back to them. And you still do it today, too. There's your program called Truth that's reaching urban kids, and the stage drama of your life and your early involvement in Teen Challenge. You've had such a full life. Last question. What is left for Nicky Cruz to do?
I don't know. I invested my life like in Truth, and we had the most beautiful young people full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Kids that they had come from nowhere like I was, and they are so talented, good actors, tremendous musicians and singers and hip hop rap. And they are, but that, regardless how good they are, because they are good, the passion that they have is tremendous. When you see those kids, 18, 19, I see little Nicky when he got converted and full of the Holy Spirit, full of passion,
mm-hmm.
right in your face. And the people just say, where did he change? I can change too. And the inspiration that they bring, and you should see that, they pack the place. We don't charge. They pack the places, and those young people that they don't know nothing about Jesus Christ, they are crying, they're raising their hand, they try to touch all of us, and it's a feast, party time.
Yeah,
hundreds come to Christ, and these children right now, they're gonna be taking. My life story is an off Broadway. Run Baby Run is an off Broadway show. Well done.
Mm.
Dance, singing, you can feel it. You can see when I was a child, everything. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. And we don't charge.
Mm.
But we have thousands come in. So my life is fulfilled.
Yeah.
Because I say, well, when is going to be the time that you retire? Christian never retire. By the way, I have more invitations now than I ever have in my
whole life.
I bet you do. It's packed in the office. But the greatest satisfaction to me, guess where it is? The street. When I got to New York City, even London, we was in London, and the rate crank went down 17% in that neighborhood. It's over there. It's written. But when you see those hundreds of kids turning, and you see five gangs that their enemy coming together and talk and then say, we got to change. We cannot kill one another. Like right now, when I go from here, I'm going to be this next day, Monday, I'm going to be leaving to New Zealand. The two biggest gangs, they're going to get together. I'm going to get with the leaders. And you know what is the question? We're scared. This is coming from the gang. We don't know what to do with our children. We don't want our children to be like us, and we don't know how to do it. So then say, we read your book, we grew up with you, we need somebody with a father image to tell us. Yeah. And I'm going to tell it. It's going to be the greatest type of thing. I'm telling you. I look.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. That's what I want to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a fruitful life you've had. And all because of that moment all those years ago when that message of Jesus just totally impacted your heart. Nicky Cruz, it really has been a privilege to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. God bless you.
Yeah, you too. NickyCruz.org is the website. NickyCruz.org.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.